Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin, and our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Hallelujah. We thank you to God for the opportunity to be in the house of God. Amen. Another time. Hallelujah. We just worship God. Let me just go ahead and open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray to God that you would move by your spirit. Dear God, that you would speak to us this day. Dear God, let lives be impacted and changed by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Children, you are dismissed. As I was praying and just staying in the presence of God throughout this week, some things just came to me, and the Spirit of God began to speak while I was driving. Sometimes, I don't know about you guys, a lot of times when I'm in the car by myself, I might just turn the music off and just start praying, or even play the word of God just so I can hear what he's saying. And he started speaking about healing from hurt, pain, scars, and wounds. And as I was praying, I was like, huh, that's interesting. I really have not heard a lot on that, on how to properly heal. And we know we are in the age now of everybody is going through something. Everybody has panic attacks. So it's okay. This is what the world says. It's okay to have panic attacks. It's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to try to figure things out on your own. But don't you know that God has always had a method for healing? Amen. And as I was praying, and even while I was just sitting still, God began to say a few things that I'm going to share today on healing from hurt, pain, scars, and wounds. Number one, I'm going to just say this before I even get into the scripture. There is a danger in you trying to self-medicate your wounds, your hurt, your pain, your scars. Okay? Why is it dangerous? Well, let's just look at it like this. God made doctors for a reason, right? Doctors actually study what they talk to you about, right? It'll be bad. First of all, a doctor cannot become a doctor unless they go through strenuous hours of studying the profession so they know about the body. But they don't know all about the spirit. They know about the body. So if I come with a wound to a doctor, I say, hey, doctor, I got this wound. They'll look at the wound. They'll check it out. Is it infected? No, it's not infected. Okay, we can put this on there, and it'll heal up in a few days. How does the doctor know that? Because he studied it, right? I've been to the doctor. I remember when Markella, what she had, strep throat? She had strep throat this right before the school year started. And, you know, us, we're just like, man, just drink some water. You'll be all right. The doctor, when we get in the doctor, the first thing he says, oh, she got strep throat. Less than 30 seconds. And he's like, she doesn't want to drink anything. You know, she doesn't want to eat anything. And we're like, yeah. And he was like, because everything they eat or drink, it's like them swallowing glass. It hurts so bad. And then I was like, man, I was just telling her to drink water, drink orange juice, drink. I just thought she had a common cold, right? But there is a difference when you go to somebody that knows how to medicate, right? Then they prescribe the right medication. Now, check this out. The doctor scribbles on that paper. Usually it looks like scribble, right? Like you can't even read it. And you're like, what the heck does that say? But whatever that says usually is the medication that you need to get better. So Markella got better in 3 days. After she started taking the medication. What I am saying is we could have continued to try to medicate it ourselves and got nowhere because we did not know how to medicate. that situation. Okay? Now, here's the thing. We have had things happen in our lives, hurt, pain, scars, and wounds, whether it's physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. We have had these things happen in our lives, and we get caught in a dangerous place of, let me fix it by myself. Right? Tamron, let me check out the internet to see how, you know, they dealt with a breakup. Let me see how I should properly deal with a breakup, right? They dealt with this. How should I, instead of going to the one that knows how to heal, we try to self-medicate. Or if we don't self-medicate, we have those old lady remedies, right? I hate to say lady, but the older, no, just the remedies. They're not always wise, right? There's some stuff, they be like, put a spider in here and you'll get out of the cold. And I'm like, what? Who taught them that? Right? But it's stuff that they were taught from their parents and their grandparents, and it might have worked one time. But that's not the way to deal with the things you have going on. Somebody say, you have to go to the great physician. Somebody say, go to the great physician. All right, so look, we're going to go to Mark chapter 5, verse 25. You're good. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. And this is the healing of the woman with the issue of blood. Now, when we get to this story, we have to remember that she was dealing with this thing for years. Okay? She tried to do everything that she could. She went to this doctor, went to that doctor. Doctor, what should I do? I'm having these issues, right? I'm trying to figure this thing out. The doctors could not figure it out. Everything she was doing was making her get worse. And that can happen even today with all the things that we know. I know some people that, hey, I got to go to the doctor because I'm not feeling good. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what I'm dealing with, but I'm not healthy. And they get to the doctor and the doctor can't figure it out. So what do you do when the doctor can't figure it out? Some people lose hope. Some people start speaking death over their life. I'm going to die. There's nothing I could do. Right? That's what some people begin to do. And this woman, it says that she had 12 years of pain, 12 years of bleeding, okay? Now, I'm not a woman, but I know they have cycles. And if that cycle lasts longer than a week, they're going through it, all right? But this lady, let's just say she had a cycle that lasted for 12 years, okay? All the ladies in here, they know, like, that's nothing to play with, okay? But she was in pain. But the Bible says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things. And check this out. It doesn't even say from the blood issue. It says she had suffered many things from the physicians. Wow. Even the doctors that they went to were making it worse. Now, listen, I'm not trying to start a doctrine like if you go to the doctor's going to make it worse. Okay? I believe in going to the doctors. I just gave you guys an example of what happened when I went to a doctor. Okay? But it says, and she has suffered many things from many physicians, and she had spent all that she had. Somebody say all that she had. Okay, see, this is the thing. Sometimes we get hurt and we spend all that we have to try to keep that from happening again, right? We begin to build, I was thinking about bringing some kind of stuff up here, but we begin to build a barricade, right? You guys ever build a barricade before? Like, let me get this right here, and I'm going to hide right here, and let's close this side so nobody can get next to me, right? Because I don't want that hurt to come back, okay? And mentally, we do everything in our power to not allow that thing to come back. But you can't do it in your own strength. It says she had spent all that she had. And guess what? she was no better. That's what the scripture says. It says she had spent all that she had and was no better. We spend all this energy trying to get to a place where we can produce our own healing in our own life. But if we do all that, we spend all of our energy. Guess what? You are not built to heal yourself. Okay? You weren't built to fix all the situations in your life. That's the reason why Jesus was sent. And we'll talk about that later, okay? But it says, when she heard about Jesus, somebody say heard about Jesus. Okay, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Now, I know it kind of just jumps out of nowhere from her issue, and it gives her whole 12-year history, and all of a sudden she jumps out to Jesus. But I want to know what she was thinking when she first heard about Jesus and how she even plotted to think, man, I need to get to that man. I know that there's power in him. See, guess what? There's always obstacles when it comes to getting to God, especially if we're talking about stuff that we're dealing with. Okay? When you have these obstacles, for some people, it prevents us from getting to God. Or we use it as an excuse. Okay? Oh, there was too many people around Jesus. Right? That's what she could have said. Oh, there was too many people around Jesus. Or this is what a lot of people in the world like to say. There's too many hypocrites over there. I know that person. I seen what that person did. They're not for real. But guess what? We're talking about your healing. We're not talking about anything else. We're talking about you getting to God, because God has what is able to heal you. And it's him. But he says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, listen to this faith, if only I may touch his clothes, I should be made well. All she wanted to do was touch Jesus and be made well. Now, check this out. This is crazy, because this same lady went 12 years paying all that she had, spending all the energy that she had, trying to figure it out. But then she said, if I just look, something happened there. If I could just touch Jesus, I'll be healed. I'll be rid of everything that I've been going through. That's faith. One thing about healing is you have to believe that God is able to do it. There's no way that you can be healed by God from the scars, from the pains, from all the things that have happened in your life that you hold together. And, you think that nobody knows about it, but they begin to show after a while. Guess what? If you don't believe that Jesus can heal you from them, it won't happen. But your belief requires action. One thing that I'm going to say in this lesson today is, when you have something hurt in your heart, when something has happened to you, what you begin to do is say, God, first of all, help me. Admit that I need help. Okay? Admit that you need help. Even in Alcohol Anonymous, or is that the right word? Anonymous. They always say, admit you need help. Admit that you're this. I'm not going to tell you that you're an alcoholic. That's not what I'm here to do. What I'm here to do is tell you to admit that there is something that's wrong with you and that you need help from God. So what you begin to do is say, God, heal me from this situation. It might not happen today, but God, help me. Help me to forgive that person. Help my mind to not wonder about what I should do to this person if I see them again. Right? Because what begins to happen is, sometimes what happens when you are hurt, you want to get revenge. And revenge is, the Bible says that vengeance is the Lord's. We don't do revenge. We let God handle it. Okay? But what we have to understand is, we have to admit, I have a problem, and God, I know that you're able to heal me, so I ask you to heal my heart. God, I ask you to heal me physically. I ask you to heal me emotionally. I ask for your healing, God, because I know that you are the only one that can. Okay? When you go to God with desperation, just like this lady, God will move in your situation. I believe that. Okay, I don't know about you, but I feel like when I see people that are in desperate need, and when they trying to figure things out and they can't figure it out, and they come to you and say, man, I need prayer. I don't know what's going on. This situation happened, and I don't know what to do. When people come to you like that, and then I say, okay, we're going to pray. Do you believe that God is able? And they're like, yes, because they don't have no more options. They try to figure it out on their own. They don't have no more options. And when you give it to God, he is able to heal. Sometimes you got to run out of options. I told this story many times. We were at the Puyallup Fair. A lady came. She was there trying to ease her mind. Her baby was in a hospital, and the baby had swine flu. You guys remember when the swine flu epidemic was going on? And she came to our booth. We had a little booth by the 7-Eleven. I don't know if you guys ever been to the Puyallup Fair. There's a little 7-Eleven right on the corner. And we would sell our music and play the music and begin to pray for people. So she came over. She just starts talking. And I'm like, the Spirit of God just asked me, is there anything I could pray for you? She starts crying. She thought she was just getting away, right? She's just trying to get away from the situation for a few hours because I'm pretty sure she had been crying the whole time. This is her baby, right? So we begin to pray. And I pray in the name of Jesus, I command that baby to be healed. God, the baby wasn't even here. I didn't have to lay hands on the baby, but we sent the word of prayer and her desperation for healing to happen. Guess what? After I got done praying, I said, here's the card. You can call me when I told her like this, when God heals your baby, call me. That's the faith that even the person praying has to have. I know that God's going to do it. So here's my card. Call me when that baby's healed. She called me the next day crying, my baby's healed. He doesn't have it no more. And I'm just like, thank you, Jesus. Why? Because that desperation, that moment of desperation caused her to reach out to the only one that could heal. And your desperation should do that. If you're not desperate enough to call on Jesus, then keep on spending your energy and getting nowhere. Okay? Keep on trying to do it yourself. Keep spending your money. Right? Now what people do is instead of spend money on doctors, they spend money on more alcohol. Or the doctor has said, oh, yeah, you can have and some people might get a little touchy about this, but we'll give you some medical weed, right, so we can ease the situation. What they're doing is helping you get high, right? That doesn't help the situation, okay? Doctors, just so we know, many times doctors are trying to they can't totally heal you, but what they're trying to do is they're trying to keep the symptoms from going further. So they're trying to figure things out, right? And I was listening to a podcast of Pastor John Harris, who's the guy we're going to go to their conference, and he was like, there's so many different, I don't want to say diseases, but what's another word for things that people have? Sicknesses, what'd you say, Sister Jane? Ailments. They're coming up with new names all the time. He said, I didn't hear about this thing when I was a kid. Never heard about it. Never heard about somebody having this ailment. But now we gotta make a name for it. There's too many people with this. Doctor, what are we gonna call it? I don't know. Let's figure out a name, because they cannot heal. The healer is the great physician, Jesus. Amen. And so it says, verse 28 says, for she said, if I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately. Somebody say immediately. See, that's what faith does. Faith, when you have real faith, and let me clarify this, because somebody might say, oh, well, it took time. There is faith that takes time. Okay. There is a difference between miracles and healing. Miracles are instantaneous. Okay? That's a miracle is like, I don't have an arm, I pray, and now I have an arm. Okay? Healing is over time. Okay? Now, in this instance, her healing was a miracle. Okay, it was instantaneous. It said immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched me?" In the crowd, though, okay? We talked about that crowd. For some people, it keeps people from going to Jesus. Oh, man, there's too many people around them. For example, have you ever been by somebody that was famous and a whole crowd of people was around them? And you're like, "Oh, man, I want to go say what's up to so-and-so." Then after a while, you're like, there's too many people around here. I mean, I'm not, you know, and then we start thinking, you know, I ain't trying to do that. That's too much. I might look a little bit desperate, right? Your mind starts saying all kind of things, but she didn't allow it to stop her, and she touched her. She touched him. Matter of fact, she touched the hem of him. So, I mean, just think about this. She wasn't even able to walk to Jesus. She had to get on the floor and crawl through the crowd. That's desperation. Okay? I remember in the Bible, there's another story where the men, they had their friend and they couldn't get to Jesus. So guess what? They had to open up the roof. Now, that's interesting. Some people, "Oh, man, the church is packed. I can't get in. Got too much." Or the parking lot is full, right? "I can't get in." But these people were desperate to see Jesus because they knew he was able to heal, and they wouldn't allow situations to keep them from him. We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon. And then it says in verse 32, "And he looked around to see her who had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth." Somebody say the whole truth. The whole truth. That's kind of interesting. When I see that, that kind of jumps out to me. See, sometimes we only tell parts of the truth. "God, I want you to heal me from this situation," not knowing that there's a lot more going on inside of you, and God wants to know the whole truth. Okay? God wants to know the whole truth. And he's able to heal you when you tell the whole truth. Somebody say the whole truth. Verse 34 said, "And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith,'" listen to this, we're talking about healing. It says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." Oh, man, I just need somebody to listen to what I'm saying. "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Okay? "Son, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Your faith is key to your healing. Okay? Your faith is key to your healing. I don't care what the situation is. And it can be very bad. I remember talking to somebody about situations going on, and I said, "You just have to trust Jesus." And they said, "I don't know how to." I said, "Just give it to him. Trust him." See, we trust, we learn to trust people, right? There's certain people we trust. Okay? When we trust, anybody ever saw that that thing where when we were kids, we might have did it, you would stand like this, and you have to fall back into somebody else's hands, right? You never did it? So she had people that she couldn't trust, okay? Now, first of all, if they dropped me, I probably would have had a problem with them. And that's not the only thing that was going to get dropped. Okay? Just let's be real. And I wasn't a fighter like that, but you don't do that kind of stuff, okay? Especially when somebody really puts their faith in you, okay? But we have to trust God like that. My kids, it's funny, my kids, they get in water and all of a sudden they don't trust me. I'm like, hey, I'm trying to help you swim. Let's backflow. No, Dad, you're going to kill me. I'm drowning. Oh. I'm like, listen, I'm holding you like this, okay? And it's not the fact that they don't trust me. It's the fear of water. See, that's a word right there. It's not always the fact that you don't trust God. It's the fear of your situation that makes you say, I don't know, because what if I trust God, but then I look funny? What if I admit that I'm going through this and people start saying funny things about me? What if, guess what? Your faith will make you well. Trust God. Somebody say, trust him, trust him, trust him. Amen. We all know it's a few people. You're quiet in here. But God is able to heal. One of the things that I look at in the scriptures, I continue to see the compassion of Jesus. Jesus was not somebody that didn't care about what other people were going through. Okay? For example, when he fed the 5,000, the disciples said, Jesus, that was a good word. You spoke a good word. Now send them home so they can eat. But Jesus said, no, you feed them. It says he was moved with compassion for the crowd. He said, you feed them. And the disciples like, what? We don't even got that much. We got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And you're asking us to feed 5,000 men and women and children. So that means it was more than 5,000. But that's what he was saying, like, oh, you feed them. So the disciples brought the food, and Jesus prayed over the food because he was compassionate even to feed the 5,000, okay? That's kind of funny because, you know, some people think, oh, it has to be something major. No, Jesus didn't want them to be hungry in that situation because he cared even about their hunger. So he fed them, and it says they were full. And not only that, when they were done, they gathered 12. The 12 disciples gathered 12 leftover bowls of food. And I don't know if that was for them to, you know, it's like, hey, I got a bowl for myself for next week. I don't know. But what Jesus did was showing him that he cares even about the little things. It says he go to a town and he was moved with compassion and he would pray with that people that had evil spirits, he would cast them out. He would heal the people that were in the land because he cares about the healing. Okay? God cares about you. It's not just a game. But we have to ask him to heal us. Amen? Jesus. And now we call them God and the Holy Spirit. He doesn't just come in and, oh, I'm going to just do this if you don't ask. Right? Salvation comes when you ask to be saved. It says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, right, that they rose him from the dead and you will be saved. And I'm paraphrasing, okay? But if we do that, we basically are asking and believing. You need healing, ask and believe. Isaiah 53, 1-6 says, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him, and they're talking about Jesus, as a tender plant and a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So let me say something about that right there. When you see pictures of Jesus and he looks beautiful, that's not what he looked like. The Bible constantly says that there was nothing that would make you be like, oh, I'm about to follow that guy. His appearance wasn't something that we would be like, man, make that cat a king. But his heart was right. Right? They said the same thing about David. They went, the prophet, was it Samuel, went to the house And he saw David's older brother and was like, that's the king. He walked in and was like, that's him. And God said, no, it's not. He might look good on the outside, but I rejected him because the inside ain't right. And Samuel stayed there trying to anoint all the brothers from the top to the bottom. And then God was like, then he's not here. And then Samuel was like, Jesse, where the heck is the other boy? They got, is this all your kids? Because I've been here for who knows how long he was there. Right? They tried, probably fed him and all kind of stuff. But this ain't the king. Where is that other boy? And it said that ruddy boy. No, I didn't say his face was messed up. I said he wasn't handsome to the point where you would be like, ooh, Jesus, I want to be around you. Okay? His face wasn't messed up. But he wasn't a beautiful person as we would consider beauty. God looks at your heart. Is your heart beautiful? Because if your heart's not beautiful, I hate to say it, but your heart is ugly. And out of the heart, that's what God looks at. That's who God looks at. He looks at your heart. Okay? So we can put all this makeup on. We can put all these things to make ourselves look good on the outside. And this is very dangerous when your outside is looking great, but inside, you're a mess. It says this about Jesus. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. This is why Jesus is able to heal. It says that he had borne our griefs. Anybody that's grieving, they know that there's something that's going on. Jesus was born into the grief. When he died on the cross, he died for that grief, right? It says he carried our sorrows. Okay, we got to catch this because we only think of Jesus as, oh, he was smiling everywhere. No, he had to go against all these things so that he, as the Bible says, he is a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. He went through all the things that we went through and he was victorious. Amen. It says he carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But see, God, because he was sent and his heart was right, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Okay? So when Jesus was beaten and bruised, it was for our sins. For all the things that we've done wrong. And then guess what it says? The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Okay? Then it says in verse 6, I'm going to read this and I'm done with this passage. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Check this out. I talked about that self-medication. We have turned to our own way. We try to figure it out on our own. And the Lord has laid on him, it says, the iniquity of us all. Every time you try to do things in your own strength, you're walking outside of the will of God. Okay? Every time you try to walk in anger because of all the things that you went through, instead of saying, God, I'm going to give you this anger. I have an issue with this, Lord. Help me with this. Every time you walk out, you are turning to your own way and not coming to him. Okay? It says that he was wounded for our transgressions. Every time we try to do something on our own, that's a transgression. Okay? People think that sin is always something very bad. No, it's just simply not doing what God wants. When you don't do what God wants, you are sinning. He could say, daughter, go here. And you're like, I want to go somewhere else. For example, Jonah, right? Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach the gospel there. Now, guess what? Jonah might have been getting on a boat to go preach to some other people. We never know that. He just didn't want to go to Nineveh. Okay? Because it says he was a prophet. Okay? So he might have just been like, That looks a little bit too hard, God. First of all, those are my enemies. Listen to this. The whole story about Jonah, dang, that's crazy, is the issue of healing. He looked at them as their enemies because they tortured his people. And he hated them for that. So God had to deal with Jonah's heart. And we see that Jonah many times, even in the passage ends like Jonah was still dealing with the anger because he didn't fully give it to God. Okay? Here's a couple scriptures I'm going to read, and then I'm going to go to my last passage. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." God does. So that's why we bless him. I can't help but bless his name. I can't help but give him praise. You have been so good to me, so I'm going to bless your name. When you say those things, that's not just a great song to sing. That's you understanding that God is able. And I always throw a little run in there when I think of the goodness of all that he's done for me. I heard the church people say, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me, right? Because he is able. When I think about where I was at, and if I didn't have God in my life, it would be a problem. Okay? The Bible says he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. In Psalms 147, verse 3. God heals the brokenhearted. See, many of us are brokenhearted, and until we say, God, heal me. I'm here, Lord. I want you to heal me. And he binds up their wounds. We've seen people with broken arms. Their arms is bound up so it can heal. That's what God does to our spirit. Amen. Last passage is James chapter 5, verse 13 through 18, and then we'll be out of here. And we'll pray if anybody wants prayer. But James chapter 5, verse 13 says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." And the Bible says, "And the prayer of the faith, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." Verse 16 says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." It says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. So basically, Elijah was like us. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now, it gives us that story about the power of Elijah's prayer, prayer in the will of God, because that's what God told him to do. Okay? But before that, it says prayer, when we come together and pray, people will be healed. Okay? And it says the effective prayers of a righteous man. See, check this out. You might have been trying to do a whole bunch of other things, but they are ineffective. But the Bible says when you come to the body of Christ and when we pray, the effective prayers of the righteous will avail much. And they will be effective. And they will work. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. That's important. See, this is the thing. The enemy works in secrecy. Okay? The devil wants to keep everything on the hush-hush. Don't tell nobody that you're dealing with this. Right? That's what the devil will tell you. Don't tell nobody. Keep it to yourself. It'll be all right. It'll work out by itself. But when you keep doing that, it keeps eating you up, beating you up. It keeps tearing you up. Amen? It hurts you when you stay silent. But when you say, I need to get with somebody, and let me be clear about this. When it said confess your trespasses, you don't tell anybody. It clearly says you go to the elders in the faith or people that have a real relationship with God. Okay? Not somebody that's going to, oh, man, so-and-so told me this. And, wow, there's so many things people have told me that I've never told anybody else because I was praying for them. Okay? And it's not for everybody else to know. Okay? Now, they didn't murder nobody. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, that's not what I'm here for. But when you confess, say, man, I had these issues. Confess and pray. Here's the dangerous part. Some people confess, but they don't want the prayer. Right. He said vice versa. Yeah. People want the prayer, but they ain't going to tell you what to pray for. Oh, God. Have you ever heard somebody just pray for me? It's an unspoken request. Now, guess what? I believe that God can move in that situation, but you might have to confess what's going on. Because everybody's unspoken prayer ain't the right thing to pray for. My prayer is that I can get even with that person. Hey, I got an unspoken prayer request. Right? No, but I'm just being for real. Because you're harboring things in your heart that are not from God. That's why you must confess it. If you have a sin in your life, or even if you've been thinking the wrong thing, and only you know what you've been thinking, I always say that. Everybody don't know what you're thinking, but see, when there's thoughts in my mind that are not from God, I'm like, God, forgive me of those thoughts. Help that get out of my mind. Lord, remove that. I might start fasting and praying. God, I don't want those thoughts in my head. Help me, Lord, to remove it. I might start praying the word, playing the word of God even more. Meditating on the word of God. Amen. But you have to confess and go to prayer. And God is able to heal. Somebody say, He's able. He's able to heal. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for your word. God, I come praying, dear God, that first of all, dear God, that you touch the hearts now. Even the people that are here, dear God. That you move by your spirit, dear God. That you send your peace. That you send your love. That you send your joy, oh God. Hallelujah, dear God. I pray to God that first of all, that we know that you're a good God. Dear God, and that you move in the situations even now. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.